Amen. Let's pray. Lord, you are everything to us. You have given us everything that we need. Lord, we come to you. We pray that we can empty ourselves of our own ego and just empty that selfishness within us. Empty the fact that we think we know it all. Empty that stuff within us that says we've heard it all. And Lord, I pray we can imitate Jesus, who was willing to empty himself and make himself nothing in humility, and trust that you would exalt him. You are everything to us, God. We love you with our hearts. We are devoted to you. We have made the decision to be here this morning out of reverence for you and out of a love for our fellow brothers and sisters. We have invited neighbors, people we meet at coffee shops. We have risked looking like an idiot or a weirdo to people just to tell them how much we love you. Because you are willing to do way more for us. And we acknowledge that, and we know that that is the true story behind all the craziness in this world. That there is a creator God, and that you created this world good, God, and it is us. It's our sinfulness that just messes things up, but you have not left us unto ourselves. You are Emmanuel. You are God with us. And God, I pray that we can remember these realities and that we can live as your church, live as the body of Christ, and not just talk about it in abstract terms. Help us this morning, Lord. Help us connect with you. Help us to understand who you are and what you are doing in this world. God, we pray for all the madness and craziness going on in this world, the pain and the suffering, the hunger, the evil, stabbings, shootings, wars, corruption at high levels. Lord, it's just all over the place. And sometimes we just wonder, God, why don't you just stop all of this stuff? But your word has given us our plan, God, and I just pray that we trust in it. I just pray we can trust, and we don't have to understand it all. I just pray we can trust that you got this figured out. And I just pray this morning that this can be a time, I'm sure not everything I say is going to change anybody's life, because it's not about me, it's about you, God. And I just pray that we can allow your spirit to speak to the hearts. And I offer this prayer in the power and the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. All right, we're jumping in. We're in our Ephesians series, January to March. Nope, it was so good, we kept it going into April. Amen, there you go. We're in the battle together. That's why we're here. So that's what we're talking about this morning is Ephesians 6. If you want to go, open up your Bible, turn it on, do whatever you got. We're diving into Ephesians chapter 6 together. We're kind of closing out our series. I guess next week will be our final message in the Ephesians series. So let's dive right in. First part of this passage says, "Finally be strengthened in the Lord and in the strength of his power." Finally. You know what that means? That means that Paul's trying to sum stuff up. All right? Because we've read Ephesians 1 through 5. And here he's saying, okay, I'm gonna kind of try to wrap some of this up. And so you got to keep that in mind as you hear what we're talking about today. A lot of your translations say, be strong in the Lord. So just so you know, sometimes people hear stuff like that, be strong. And you can think, okay, it's up to me. I got to figure out how to be strong. That's what the Word of God says. I got to figure out how I can make myself strong. And I think that's where we got to be careful. That's not really the heart of this passage. And in fact, the translation, a lot of people feel like it's better said, be strengthened in the Lord. That's different. The strength doesn't come from you mustering it up. You need to show up and be strengthened. That's a lot different than you just figuring out how to be strong. And so sometimes we got to figure that out. And here I am trying to preach a message, and this is the first passage, right? The first part. I'm in grad school, getting my Master of Divinity. Amen at 52. Out of practice in school, but amen, I'm starting to get my groove, right? But I'm in exams. Had 3 assignments due on Thursday, but I had to preach today. Assignment. Prepare for the sermon. I got through all 3 of my assignments on Thursday. Praise Jesus. But then, see, there were these meetings in Athens this weekend. So I was in Atlanta, you know, at my school. I left my class ended at 4:15. Beautiful Atlanta traffic on Thursday at 4:15. Drive from Atlanta to Athens. Oh, yes, indeed. Right after doing a presentation, writing that paper and turning in an exam or doing an exam, and then drive straight to Athens. And I'm there to meet with fellow brothers and sisters from our sister churches from all over the Southeast, which is a wonderful thing. But I was tired. And you know, you gotta give in these things. You gotta be on. Hi, brother, how are you? Yes, how are you doing? I'm doing great, how are you doing? This is awesome. What's happening in your church? What's good? What, you know, you're like, oh, yes. But luckily we played some games and got loosened up a little bit. But still, you know, I didn't even wanna play the games. I was hiding in the back when they tried to get, you know, volunteers. Fighting with myself, right? Finally get to the hotel room, like, praise God, I can go to sleep, right? Then I couldn't go to sleep because I was thinking about the sermon and thinking about all this other stuff. Then I had to go to the meetings the next day. You know what I'm saying? Sitting in disciple groups and sharing your heart and all that good stuff. It's a good thing. I'm glad I went. But I'm just being honest with you, when I woke up early that morning trying to prepare, be strengthened in the Lord, and I'm like, I don't feel strong. How am I going to stand up in front of these people and preach when I don't even feel this passage is working? I don't know if y'all ever experienced that before. So I'm like, all right, let me just break it down. Just, Jeff, break it down. Okay, God, help me. You know, I'm just like, okay, be strengthened. Okay, well, let me show up to give me the strength. In the Lord. Okay, what does in the Lord mean? And I said, okay, because before I read my Bible, I always pray, God, help this not be for sermon preparation. Help it be for spiritual formation. Amen. And I just said, okay, in the Lord. I'm going to go everywhere in Ephesians where it says in him, in Jesus, in Christ, in the Lord. I'm going to look at every one of those passages because I'm going to figure out how to get that strength. And I encourage you to do the same during this week if you haven't done that already and look up all the parts in Ephesians where it says in him or in Christ or in the Lord. And I wrote down every one I could find, over 20 of these examples. Took time to do it because I needed it for myself. I'm not trying to sit up here and just preach and talk about stuff. I need to understand this for my life. You know what I found? I found stuff that fired me up. Ephesians 1, verse 3. Praise be to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. I was like, amen, okay. I got every spiritual blessing I need. In Christ. That's where I can find the strength, in the Lord. What else is in there? Ephesians 1 verse 7. In Christ we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Because Jeff, you kind of borderline sin in your attitude about these meetings. You need to be forgiven. You know what I'm saying? You need to change. Amen. Amen. But I got forgiveness. Maybe my attitude's not always awesome, but I got forgiveness of God. Amen. That's in Christ. All right, I got every spiritual blessing. I got forgiveness. For we are God's handiwork, chapter 2, verse 10, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Jeff, you are made to preach God's word. This is why I put you here. This is who you are. This is your role in the church. Stand up and do it. Amen, I'm going to do it because you gave me every spiritual blessing, and you have given me forgiveness, and you have given me what I need to do this. Chapter 3, in Christ and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. Man, that helped me out. So I just prayed to God. I prayed it out. God, I don't know if I really want to go to all these meetings. And to add insult to injury, are you really ready for the capper? This is Master's Weekend. What am I doing in meetings? Can't a minister just watch one golf tournament in the whole year? I gotta study for exams, prepare a sermon, and go to meetings all weekend. Can't even watch the Masters. I'm just trying to share my heart with y'all. I wasn't in an awesome spot at the meetings, you know what I'm saying? So I had to be strengthened in the Lord. And I was like, amen, in the Lord. And you know what else in the Lord means? Being in Christ. It's being in the new humanity that God has created. He's taken the dividing hostilities, got rid of all that stuff that jacks us up, and he unites us. We're a new humanity. We put off the old. We're in the Lord. And so when I went to the meetings, I wasn't looking at people. I was looking at my fellow brothers and sisters together in the Lord. And that gave me some strength. I derived some strength from being together with my brothers and my sisters. And I looked at those times a little differently. And so going to your word can help you get stronger. And you can draw strength from being in the Lord, which is being among his people as well. And it's not only in the Lord, but it's in the strength of his power. Power. You want to talk about power? Turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 1. This is a little bit of a review. Why are you reviewing? Because the man just said, finally, he's reviewing. I can review. Ephesians 1. Look at these passages. Look in verse 18. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. What kind of power is that? Incomparably great. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. I said, okay, that's power right there. Incomparably great power. The power that exerted, that was raised Christ from the dead. I said, I want some of that power. Let me be strengthened in that power. And then in Ephesians chapter 3, this inspired me to get myself in the right mindset. In verse 16, I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. I said, okay, amen. Let's go. Let's go. That's what I need. That's the power that I need. And you know, both of these are prayers. And I love that. We need each other to access that power. We need to pray for each other. I appreciate it. There was a brother that came up to me. He said, hey, Jeff, there's this person in our church that's going through something. And I'm praying for that person at a certain time every day. You want to join me? I said, yeah, let's do it. What time? Told me the time. Put a little alert on my phone. So every day, you know, it comes on. I'm praying. I don't think this person knows that we're praying for. That person might derive some type of power from it. But I tell you what, me and this brother, I text him a couple times at the time, like with some prayer emojis, like, we in this, bro. Let's pray. Prayers matter, you know? There's power in these prayers. We just imagine, we got all these family groups. Just imagine, just think of it this way. All these people, you don't know all these people in this room right here. There's people you don't even know all these people. There's people up in the lighthouse. You don't even know all those people in the lighthouse. But we have all these small groups just scattered all over the church. Just think, just if every single member of this church only prayed for just one person in their little family group every day, how much power would that be? Even if it's only just one person, because I know you're so busy. We all busy. To me, this is Paul saying, The power is interesting that it keeps coming through prayer, right? He's praying these things and he hopes that the power can be experienced. I don't want to just know about the power. I want to experience the power. So we need praying for each other to experience this power. Amen? Then it goes on. It says, clothe yourselves with the full armor of God. so that you will be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Y'all don't believe that though. We don't believe that though. In practice, because we get sideways with each other quick. We do. Quick. Somebody do something you don't like, it's quick sometimes. You forget it's not about that person now. There's something that the Bible's trying to explain to us, and we struggle to understand it. But our struggle is not against flesh and blood. It's against the rulers, against the powers, against the world rulers of this darkness. Woo, that's deep right there. Against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavens. There's stuff going on beyond our sight that we can't see. These spiritual forces, they incite and influence us. Well, Jeff, so we don't have any responsibility. The devil made me do it. Are you just saying like we're just stuck here and we have nothing to do? No, because you can take a stand. You can take a stand against the devil's schemes. Because he's sly. He's not going to say, hey, you know what? You should really treat these people bad. Because you see right through that. He's not going to be like that. Just treat these people bad. As if they're inferior to you. He's not going to say it like that. But he's just going to say, man, isn't that terrible how they had the same opportunities as you and look where they did with it. Isn't that terrible? I mean, people like that just deserve what they get. Right? Stuff like that. Let me get you on the side, though. That's how he does it. You think he told people, hey, create idols by chopping up wood and creating things? No. Hey, don't you want a good crop this year? Man, I bet you if you could just offer a prayer over here, maybe it'll happen for you. He's gonna get you in the side door. He's gonna dress it up like something else. That's how he's gonna do it. That's the influence behind what we see. But see, here we gotta realize that there's one group of people that can't get duped by that, and that's the church. Because we gotta put God's armor on. Not your armor, God's armor. And here's the deal. I've heard this priest a lot. I'm sure y'all have too, right? But here's the deal. Most of the time I hear this passage preached, you know what they start talking about? They talk about Roman soldiers and all that, which I'm sure Paul spent a lot of time around Roman soldiers. So I think I'm not saying it's not talking about Roman soldiers, but what I rarely hear is people talk about what Paul is getting at in this whole thing about the full armor of God. And we're going to look into that a little bit in a second. But notice what he says, take your stand. A lot of times we think we got to defeat the devil, you know. We got to take the devil down ourselves. Hold up now. He just said, take your stand. Didn't we celebrate Easter a couple weeks ago? That resurrection, hey, that's the ultimate victory. Oh, we got to deal with skirmishes here and there, but God took care of the ultimate victory. All right, we just got to act like that we know the victory has been won and take our stand, because the devil, he's going to keep coming at us through his ways, evil powers. He's still trying to get at us. That's how he is. But even Jesus in the wilderness, Satan coming at him. I mean, sometimes I wish Jesus would have taken him out. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know what, bro, I'm about done with you. You know what I mean? I could call down all these angels. I mean, that's the kind of power Jesus had. But he just, what did he do with the devil? The devil coming at him again, trying to slide in there. Devil always trying to put a little lie in there, make it sound good. That's how he does it. But Jesus didn't even take him on the aggressive, right? He used God's word and he just dealt with it, right? But he used God's word and he defeated Satan. So we got to be careful. Take your stand. Don't be trying to be like Hero Joe out there. Just take your stand against the schemes of the devil. And again, if you didn't get it, he says, for this reason, take up the full armor of God, so you may be able to take your stand your ground on the evil day, having done everything to what? Stand. Take a stand. Take your stand. How do you do it, though? How do you stand firm? Fasten the belt of truth around your waist. Put on the breastplate of righteousness, fitting your feet with the preparation that comes from the good news of peace. And in all this, by taking up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And then we preach about how these are the things that the Roman soldiers would use. And Paul's making a cool analogy. Amen. But let me give you another analogy that I think Mr. Paul, who's a huge Jewish scholar, I think he's making a different analogy. Open up your Bible some more. You're going to have to go into the Old Testament here. You ready? You know how I like going to the Old Testament. Isaiah 59. Y'all go over there. And I thought, you know, I don't want to read too much of this because I'm going to lose people. And then I thought, you know what? Forget it. If they can't follow the Bible, they got problems. I'm going to read a long passage. Are you ready? Get yourself mentally ready. I know attention spans is fast these days. So get comfortable, you know what I mean? But listen to what's going on. Look at the way society is being portrayed. How is it being described? And this is important. See what's going on here. Isaiah 59. Surely the arm of the Lord is not too short to save, nor his ear too dull to hear. But your iniquities have separated you from your God. Your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. For your hands are stained with blood, your fingers with guilt. Your lips have spoken falsely, and your tongue mutters wicked things. No one calls for justice. No one pleads a case with integrity. They rely on empty arguments. They utter lies. They conceive trouble, give birth to evil. They hatch the eggs of vipers and spin a spider's web. Whoever eats their eggs will die, and when one is broken, an adder is hatched. Their cobwebs are useless for clothing. They cannot cover themselves with what they make. Their deeds are evil deeds, and acts of violence are in their hands. Their feet rush into sin. They are swift to shed innocent blood. They pursue evil schemes. Acts of violence mark their ways. The way of peace, they know not. There is no justice in their paths. They have turned them into crooked roads. No one who walks along them will know peace. So justice is far from us. Righteousness does not reach us. We look for light, but all is darkness. For brightness, but we walk in deep shadows. Like the blind, we grope all along the wall, feeling our way like people without eyes. At midday, we stumble as if it were twilight. Among the strong, here we are like the dead. We growl like bears. We moan mournfully like doves. We look for justice, find none, for deliverance, but it's far away. For our offenses are many in your sight, and our sins testify against us. Our offenses are ever with us, and we acknowledge our iniquities, our rebellion, and the treachery against the Lord, turning our backs on our God, inciting revolt and oppression, uttering lies our hearts have conceived. So justice is driven back, and righteousness stands at a distance. Truth has stumbled in the streets. Honesty cannot enter. Truth's nowhere to be found, and whoever shuns evil becomes a prey. The Lord looked and was displeased that there was no justice. Who looked? The Lord saw all this. He saw that there was no one. He was appalled that there was no one to intervene. So his own arm achieved salvation for him. His own righteousness sustained him. He put on righteousness as his breastplate, and the helmet of salvation on his head.
put on the garments of vengeance and wrapped himself in zeal as in a cloak. According to what they've done, so he will repay wrath to his enemies and retribution to his foes. He will repay the islands their due. From the west, people will fear the name of the Lord, and from the rising of the sun, they will revere his glory. For he will come like a pent-up flood that the breath of the Lord drives along. The Redeemer will come to Zion, to those in Jacob who repent of their sins, declares the Lord. As for me, this is my covenant with them, says the Lord. My spirit who is on you will not depart from you. My words that I put in your mouth will always be on your lips and on the lips of your children and on the lips of their descendants from this time on and forever, says the Lord. There is no way you can tell me that Paul didn't have this in mind. No way you can. He had this passage in mind. When God sees things aren't right in the world, he deals with it. He deals with it. And guess what? When things ain't right in the church and in the world, he needs to deal with it still. Guess who he uses? The church. We are supposed to be the ones that are the divine warrior like God. We need to see injustice. We need to see lies, wickedness, schemes, people that don't know peace. We gotta be willing to step into that with God's righteousness. Those are that's our role. That's the church's role. That's who we are. That's what we're supposed to be doing. Taking up God's role in a jacked up world. But we need to do it with each other. That's the beauty of it. You know, we need each other to pull this off. But God is the one who's gonna deal with this world. He is the one that has the breastplate of righteousness and the helmet of salvation. And that is what I believe more readily what Paul was talking about in that passage. So all of these things about dealing with the belt of truth. Yes, there is truth. I'm tired of people saying there's no such thing as truth. That's just like some fancy word out there. Yeah, postmodernism. Man, come on. There is truth. We need to take a stand for truth. All of us need to take a stand for truth. Righteousness, how we treat one another. We need to take a stand for that. We need to love our neighbor as ourselves. We need to pray for our enemies. We need to read stuff in the Bible and actually put it into practice. Amen? Put fit in your feet with the preparation that comes from the good news of the peace. Well, hello? We need to be out there sharing the good news of peace. Yeah, but you know, the church has made a lot of mistakes. You know it has. I'm gonna tell you right now, I've probably made 50,000 of them myself as a church leader, but that don't mean this scripture ain't true. We need to go out there and share about the gospel of peace, because if we don't, people are just gonna be out there groping along in darkness. Yeah, but this church, man, sometimes I think it's not as strong as it needs to be. Which church is, man? What's going on? Oh, let me see. Let's see what that is. Here's what the devil is not going to say. Don't share your faith. He's not going to say that. But this is what he will say. You know, if you bring your friend, I don't really know they're going to feel loved at the church. So maybe you shouldn't really bring anyone to church. Or, you know, that's just such an overemphasized aspect. There's so many other things in Christianity. Why do we need to really invite people to church? We need to have our feet ready with the good news of peace. Because this world don't know nothing about peace. We got to deal with it. We are God's instrument to deal with it in the New Testament age. Take up the shield of faith. Extinguish the flaming arrows of the evil one. He always just, pew, pew, right? Our problem with the shield of faith, this is our problem with the shield of faith. That's our problem, man. I'm serious. I'm convinced. This is how we envision the shield of faith. In fact, this is how we envision the whole passage. It's an individual passage. It's how the individual Christian fights against the devil's schemes. I wake up in the morning and I have a good quiet time, and I am able to walk out and defeat the devil's schemes because I have the shield of faith. Another scheme of the devil to get you dumb enough to go out there and think you can do it on your own. When you got all these people right here, you could be praying for each other, receiving the prayers of other people, getting with each other and reinforcing all the stuff we've been talking about. But instead, we going out there by ourselves. There's another way to think about shields and how we can use shields when the flaming arrows come our way. And I want to encourage you with a different, I don't want to leave you with that visual, appropriately named of America, because I do think that rugged individualism just messes with us sometimes. But there's another approach, and if our AV crew has the ability, because our technology has been a little cranky today, but there is a little video I was going to try to show of a different approach to using slides. I don't know if it's working. Is it working? You see that? That's more the approach. You know, on campus, y'all all together, right? It's not just one person running out there. You're surrounding each other, shield to shield, dealing with the madness that comes on in this world, shield to shield. You take a break, okay, you look and see what's coming, but you're doing it together. Every family group, shielded up. Dealing with the fiery darts that come your way. Are you, you're still single, or you're not gonna, you must not be lovable. Come on. Let's get together. That's a flaming arrow. You don't have to deal with that by yourself. Let's get the whole group. Oh, you've lost a loved one? You don't have to deal with that yourself. You don't have to go out there by yourself. Come on. Let's deal with that. You got some church hurt. You got some stuff that has happened to you in the past in the congregation. It makes you not want to move forward. You don't have to deal with that by yourself. Come on. Let's do this together. That is where our strength lies. It is together. And at the end of the day, honestly, I think it's pretty simple. Jesus is the whole armor of God, really. He is our truth. He is our peace. He is our righteousness. We can't rely on our own. We need him. And let us be reminded of these truths in Scripture and put on that whole armor and be strengthened in the Lord and in his power. And it's not just you individually, it's all of us together. And when we understand that, then we can take our stand. Because the world's going to try to make you feel that your faith is useless. It is futile. There are more advanced ways of dealing with reality in the world. And the Bible says that's not true. There are forces that we can't see that are influencing what we call reality. And the only person that has defeated those influences is Jesus. And when we are in him, and when we are thinking his thoughts, and when we care about salvation and deliverance, and we listen to the word of God, and when we repent, and when we surrender, and when we give our lives to him in baptism and come out with new life, we shield up with each other, then we are like God in this world, the divine warrior dealing with injustice with truth, righteousness, justice, and love. That is who we are. But we got to put the full armor on. But man, when we do, we are God's glorious instrument to take a stand against all the ridiculousness that this world puts forth as truth. Don't fall for the lies. Let's take our shield of faith and connect with each other. Amen. I'm going to say a prayer, and we're going to take the Lord's Supper together. Let's pray. Lord, wow, we need you. We need your righteousness. We need your peace. And we know that Jesus embodied it all. And he gave his life for each one of us. But there was power that actually raised him from the dead. And he is seated with you. And we know that when we take this bread, that it represents his body, his real body that did hang on a cross. When we take this juice in our bodies, it represents the blood that he did shed, the blood that provides that redemption and that forgiveness. But Lord, when we take this, we connect. It's like we're putting our spiritual shields up, and there are people like Michael and Petal mentioned all over the world that are doing the same thing, taking the Lord's Supper. Telling this world that We will not be fooled by what's being offered as reality that our eyes can see. We believe in a reality that is unseen. And this ritual is our way of saying Jesus' body, Jesus' blood, Jesus' return, and that's how we take our stand. And I pray we do it this morning with vigor. We pray in his name. Amen.